It's the CougarFan.com Rise and Shout Podcast, episode 276. I'm your host, Adam Mangum. It's part one of our 2017 NFL Draft Preview, and I am joined in this episode by NFL Draft expert Emory Hunt, who came on the show last year. We discussed Jamal Williams, Taysom Hill, Harvey Lange, Kai Nakua, and other NFL Draft storylines. Also on the show, Matt and I discuss Jemmer, men's volleyball, expectations for men's basketball, and we pick our NBA Final Four. This is the Rise and Shout Podcast. Get all of your Cougar news at CougarFan.com. Follow us on Facebook at Facebook.com/Rise and Shout. And listen to us right now. CougarFan.com Rise and Shout Podcast. Matt, last week was the week in which we previewed Major League Baseball.
Yes. Yes, it was, my friend.
And Justin Sweeney, that's at Justin D. Sweeney on Twitter.
Sweeney.
He says, the only time I threaten to break my streak of episodes listened to, hashtag BYU MLB.
He did not. He made it the whole way?
He made it the whole way. He does every year, and he complains about it every year.
At least he's consistent.
We also had... let's see. We had three other people use the hashtag. Only three people made it to the end and told us. One of them and two of them are related to us out of the four.
One's Don. Who's the other?
Michael, his son.
Ah, makes sense.
So, and then John Harrison said hashtag BYU MLB, hashtag Go Giants. So he's obviously a San Francisco Giants fan. And I like the Giants. I'm not a fan of their team. My father-in-law is, but I kind of root for them. So go Giants, John Harrison. So anyway, Matt, this week, though, we're going to open up with something a little different. So I inadvertently last night, we're recording on Tuesday night, I posted last night, I was trying to timestamp it, but did not do that, and asked for TweetBag questions last night as if we were recording.
Because you're learning how to use technology.
It's Twitter. I've never seen it before. So Gary Payne,
What is this Twitter?
What's this Twitter, and why do people want me to tweet them? Gary Payne, that's at FastBreakGP, has our first TweetBag question.
TweetBag.
He says, when do you think the Ziggy Ansah Disney Feel Good movie will come out?
I'm surprised it hasn't come out already.
I'm a little shocked. I'm guessing 2020? 2021.
I'd have to go back and look. How long did it take them to make Blindside? I think that's the barometer I would use. He was in the NFL.
You know, he's not a huge fan of that movie.
I know.
He doesn't like how he was portrayed.
They kind of made him look like an idiot.
Well, and he, I guess, did know some about football before that, you know.
And in the movie, he believes that the field at Tennessee is haunted and, like, skeletons come up out of the ground and grab people?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Come on.
Yes. Yeah.
They just made him a little bit too much of a simpleton. I think he was probably a little bit more savvy than that.
Yes. He did not believe in skeletons reaching out and grabbing people's feet.
Right.
Yeah. I think safe to say. He had seen the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark. He knew you just have to close your eyes. Right? That's all you have to do. That's all you have to do, Matt. All right, so let's go straight into our CougarFan.com, Cougars in the News.
Cougars in the News!
Get all of your BYU sports news at CougarFan.com, the best BYU sports news aggregator on the web. So, Matt, first up, number 3 BYU men's volleyball hosts number 9 Stanford in the MPSF quarterfinals this weekend. They will face Hawaii or Pepperdine next week, assuming they beat the Cardinal. Of course, you know how I feel about this match.
Go Cougs. Fell the trees.
Just take down the trees. Take down the trees. My dislike of Stanford is well documented.
Yes, yes it is.
Now, is it amazing to me, you know, that, anyway, it's crazy to me just... You know, as this tournament comes up, this is Saturday. It's 7 p.m. Mountain Time. BYU leads the series 33-21 all time, 16-7 when playing in Provo. The Cardinal have dropped two of their last five matches, including one at UC Irvine last week. So Cardinal are not playing well. BYU, on the other hand, is playing quite well. Go Cougs. Matt, also staying in volleyball, women's setter Aloe Robbins-Hardy will compete for Team USA in upcoming tournaments. So congratulations to her, and go USA.
USA, USA, USA.
I feel like we're talking about this every week, but again, this is the Jimmer portion of the show. In a report at VanquishTheFoe.com by Robbie McCombs, he points out a couple of different things. One is that mainly that Jimmer's hometown newspaper, The Post Star, recently wrote an article about him, and there were two interesting things in this article. The first one was, Matt, that he turned down a couple of 10-day contract offers. Does that surprise you?
A little bit, but not really. You know, I don't. He's not looking for that. He's not looking for another 10-day contract with the NBA.
No, he wants a team. I think he'd come back for sure if somebody said we're going to sign you to a 1 or 2 year deal.
Yeah,
I don't think he wants to go to the D League or a 10-day contract. I'm with you.
No.
The other news was that out of that same Post Star article, Jimmer received a 3-year endorsement deal with a Chinese shoe company called 361 Degrees. The deal was for a reported $345,000. They had some pictures of the shoe in this article, and they have his initials there on the shoe. So Matt,
if you could get your hand on a pair of these, hands on a pair of these, would you wear them?
Oh, absolutely. I'd get the royal blue ones.
If I could find a place to sell them, I'd buy those blue ones.
Yeah. As soon as I figure out how to do them, if it's not like totally ridiculous, price, I'd be in. I'd wear the Jimmers.
How do you get them?
I don't know. I haven't really looked into it yet, but
to the Google machine I go.
To the Google machine you go. So, Matt, we are sponsored by a couple of different things this week that both are related to me.
There you go.
So the first is Bleep the Podcast. We've talked about this before. You can go to Bleep the Podcast at I'm butchering this. Bleep the Podcast. What? What are you owing?
I just went to 361 Degrees USA website.
Okay.
The banner, if you go to their basketball section, the banner across the top. Save 25% off all basketball shoes. Use code Jimmer. There's a picture of Jimmer. But they're not his shoes on the page yet. They're just basketball shoes, but they're not the ones in that picture yet. They might not be in production, is my guess.
They may not.
They just signed the deal. Maybe the shoes aren't ready. But I'll tell you, it looks like you're going to be able to buy them on the internet.
Hmm.
We could all own a pair of their Black Chi or Midnight Vibrant Black Silver, Grape Silver. They've got this 361 Mazer basketball shoe that retails for $125.
So if it's in that ball, if it's in that ballpark, I may give it a shot, Chinese basketball shoe company.
Wouldn't that be crazy?
That would be crazy.
Sorry. I got excited there because I thought I had found the shoe. I thought I found it.
You did not. That was kind of live. It's like Gerardo Rivera, right, when he found something. You remember that?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know. I don't either. So Bleep the Podcast. You can go to bleepthepodcast.podbean.com. You can also just go to an iTunes or any podcast service and search for it. We've had three episodes. This week, the third one will get posted, which is myself and Alan Seawright. We're talking about summer movies. And then the Sycorax series, my new books, Matt, are now available for pre-order on Amazon.com.
Oh, look at that.
It'll be in the show notes, but you can also just check out, just type in Sycorax series into Amazon search engine, and you will find it. So, Matt,
I got my email from Kickstarter today asking for all my contact information.
Yes, so that we can then send you your books that you earned.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Through your patronage of the Sycorax series. Yeah, your patronage.
Is that the term you really use there?
Yeah, sure.
All right, that's cool.
Use that term. That's cool. But go ahead and check that out or learn more about it and the links in the show notes. Matt, right now we're going to listen to, well, the listeners are, you and I aren't. We're just going to take like 5 seconds of a break. But the listeners are going to listen to me talk with Emery Hunt, NFL scout, about Jamal Williams and some other draft topics. Welcoming back to the CougarFan.com Rise and Shout podcast, Emery Hunt. Emery came on last year and talked to us about the NFL draft. He is the CEO and founder and top analyst at Football Game Plan, which you can find them at footballgameplan.com, I believe, and also their YouTube channel, youtube.com/footballgameplan. And if you want to get ready for the draft, I would highly recommend going out and checking out. They post a lot of awesome content and a lot deeper than what most sites do going into the draft. Emery, welcome back to the podcast.
I appreciate you guys having me on. I'm glad to be back.
So, of course, for all BYU fans, the top discussion coming into the NFL draft is outgoing running back Jamal Williams. I looked at some of the information you had on your site about him, so we'll dig into that. But let's just start off with your impressions, having watched game film. Obviously, he's been around and played at BYU for a long time, and there's lots of film to watch on him and had a good senior season. What are your, you know, kind of strengths and opportunity areas for Jamal Williams?
You know what? It's funny because I was always a big fan of his game. He graded out pretty high for us. We have him as our sixth rated running back with an 80 overall grade. And someone brought this to my attention. I forgot. I tweeted it out because it was so long ago. It was back in 2012. I was watching the BYU game late. And I was like, hey, this freshman running back Williams kid is going to be special, and you know, for BYU. And I was like, whoa. You know, but that's how he initially stood out to me. And because you don't see taller backs. He's a 6'2 guy that has the elusiveness. He has the vision and the footwork to make it work. And you normally didn't see those type of backs at BYU. You normally got the guys that were one cut downhill power back. And to get a guy that has a little bit of flair, has a little bit of flash, kind of brought me back to when BYU had Ronnie Jenkins back in the day, you know, a guy that had a little bit of pizzazz with him. But I think when you look at Jamal Williams, the fact that he's a bigger back and has the same elusiveness, has the same power, has the ability to pull away from defenders, and I think he's very underrated in catching the football. He has everything that you want when you look at a pro player. Now, where you like to see him get better, a little bit areas of improvement is, as being a bigger back, as being a taller guy, you have to learn how to take hits, you know, because he's going to take a lot of shots, but he's going to have to learn how to take shots, maybe contort your body a little bit to where you get a glancing blow in a direct shot, or if it's not for a touchdown or for a first down, you don't have to lower your shoulder all the time. You can easily step out of bounds and let the play another down.
So tell me about, you know, I've actually seen the video, but for our listeners, when you talk about your 80 grade, what does an 80 grade mean on your system of grading NFL prospects?
To me, that's like a Pro Bowler, a guy that's going to be a perennial Pro Bowler at the next level. And I think he's one of those backs where you're going to give him the football. He's going to get, he can average, in my opinion, 1,200 to 1,300 yards a season. And he could be that guy that, he can be that feature back that they're looking for. I don't think he's a complimentary guy. I think he's a feature guy that you can feed and build your offense around. So an 80 to 89 is where you like to see Pro Bowlers. Anybody that's in the 90s where you see all pro. Now, obviously, if you're making a Pro Bowl, you can easily get to that 90 once you're into the league. But just grading his college film, I think he has the potential to be a future perennial Pro Bowler.
And you think it matters as he gets to that next level? Is there a running scheme or system or offensive system that you think best fits his talents, or do you think he could cross across multiple different of offensive formats?
Well, I think he can cross, you know, again, over multiple formats. And I think right now the league is predominantly inside outside zone. And that, to me, tailor made for his skill set, because he does a good job on those type of runs. He runs that stretch play pretty well, that outside zone, he can cut it back inside, or even the inside zone, we can get downhill pretty quickly. I think those plays are ideally suited for his skill set, and that's what you're predominantly seeing right now in the NFL.
So one of the last question on Jamal is, Where do you think he ends up going in the draft? We've seen on, you know, mock drafts, it's been, he's kind of been all over the board. I saw one where he was late second round. I've seen others where it's not till the fifth. Where do you think his name is going to get called come draft weekend?
I feel like the run on running backs will happen in the second round. Outside of the major, let's say three that go in round, I think that will go in round one, like a Fournette, a Cook, and a McCaffrey. I think you'll see guys like Jamal Williams, Joe Mixon, P. Ryan, and you know, Kareem Hunt. They'll go in like rounds two and three, but there'll be a run on those guys. And I think Williams, to me, is a very good back, good enough to where he can go in round two. And I think he would be an ideal fit either in Indianapolis or in Philadelphia. I think those would be great fits for him, even Green Bay, because he kind of runs like James Stark, that one-cut downhill runner that has a good bit of burst that can outrun guys and gets better with each and every carry. So I think Green Bay, Philly, and Indianapolis would be great fits for him.
Excellent. So standing running backs, before we go to the next BYU guy, watched your running back rankings, and you had – Leonard Fournette as your number one, which is no surprise. He obviously had a terrific career. The name you threw out as a comp, though, was Herschel Walker. Have you taken flack yet for that? And tell us why you think Fournette could be that level of running back in the NFL.
You know what? I haven't taken flack yet, probably because a lot of the viewers don't even know who Herschel Walker is. You know, it's funny. And I'm only 35 years old, and it's just funny to think, like, you know, you have this football library, and you remember certain guys. And I had to even put the video within the video showing, here's the comparison I'm making when he was at the in the USFL. Herschel Walker was the same type of guy, and he had the same type of issues a guy like Fournette had, where people question whether or not he had enough agility or the vision. He's basically an eye back. You know, you put a fullback in front of him and let him get downhill. You hear the same things about Leonard Fournette. But what you also hear is that he's a big back with a ton of explosiveness that can outrun defensive backs to the end zone. We've seen this time and time again at LSU. And he also, people forget, returned kicks at LSU. And you have to be fast to return kicks. You have to be a little bit quick to return punts. So having him return kickoffs as a freshman, and he brought a couple back for touchdowns, says a lot about his long speed and that power. And I think his ability to run through tackles and not lose that speed, in fact, he may even get faster. This reminded me so much of how Herschel used to run the football.
Yeah, for sure. I actually think it's a great comparison. And Herschel Walker, I think, was obviously a tremendous college running back and then went on to have a very good NFL career. So let's flip back to one of the BYU players. The other prospect that's getting into mock drafts and seems to be getting the most attention is, we'll call him, defensive end or an outside linebacker. I guess it depends on the system and what you liked on film. But Harvey Longy from BYU, tell us what you think about Longy, where his strengths and opportunities areas are as it pertains to the NFL draft.
I like his athleticism. I think that's going to be his biggest positive going in, because he's played running back, he's played linebacker, he's played defensive end, he's also played running back again. So, you know, with that type of versatility and being able to play on both sides of the ball, you have a great understanding of what teams are trying to do to you and what you are trying to do to a team. And so I think his athleticism and his football IQ will be what coaches will love. And they'll feel as, okay, I have a smart guy here. I have an athlete that's pretty decent at both spots. I can mold him into being a complete football player. So I think he has the upside that you look for. Obviously, you want him to concentrate on one area of the football field, whether that's at the end, at outside linebacker, at fullback, or at tailback, and allow him just to continue to grow in that area. I think he's a better linebacker. So as he continues to play on that side of the ball and get more game reps, his game will improve. And I think, to me, that's going to be the biggest area of improvement for him, is just to find that consistency in a position and allow yourself to naturally grow within that position.
Yeah, for sure. And you, is he a guy you see fifth, sixth, seventh round? Where do you see Longy might wind up on draft weekend?
I think he's like a sixth or seventh round type guy, because he doesn't have that true position, you know, and he wasn't dynamic at either one of them. Let's say, like, in comparison to a guy that has the same type of flexibility at cornerback in Adoree Jackson. At least right. You've seen him be dynamic in one position. You know, we've seen him be explosive as a receiver. We also seen him be explosive as a returner or as a corner. Lange has been solid. So I think when you look at that, not having the explosiveness on film, the explosive plays on film to wow you, I think that pushes him down to about round 6 or 7.
Yeah, sure. So the third guy I wanted to chat with you about, of course, is kind of an enigma, which is quarterback Taysom Hill. Had a lot of injury issues as a collegiate player. Had several seasons ended by injury, unfortunately. When he did play, he had some great games and some great one really really good season. Obviously, as a passer, he had his struggles and was on and off. But as a runner, he was, in my opinion, one of the best runners that BYU has ever had, maybe top two or three. And I wanted to get, now that he's, you know, he had his BYU pro day, put up good numbers. What do you think as a scout? I mean, how do you take in a guy that was an NFL quarterback, but he's probably not going to play quarterback at the next level, and he's got this strange combination of skills? I mean, what do you make of a guy like Taysom Hill?
See, I'm always team keep a guy at one position, right? And especially when you have an athlete like Taysom Hill, because that's the great equalizer on offense. Because normally the defense has the advantage 11-on-10, because you don't normally have to be responsible for the quarterback because he's not going to move. But when you have a guy like a Taysom Hill, like a Johnny Manziel, like a Dak Prescott, like a Deshaun Watson, you have guys that make it an 11-on-11 game. So it takes one extra defender away from the defense and how they can game plan against you. His biggest thing has just been health. If he can be healthy, I think if he was healthy, BYU would have been a team with that defense, that running game, those weapons at receiver and tight end, that offensive line. BYU would have been a team that would have been in one of those New Year's Six bowl games, because that's they have a really strong football team, and you could tell Taysom Hill was the X factor, and with him not being in there, it kind of forced them to lean more on Jamal. And so I think his skill set warrants him being that quarterback. I know he's 27 years old, and with that, you don't want to switch him and have him learn a completely new position. Let him get healthy. Let him remain that quarterback. And I think he's a guy that can provide a little spark. He can come in there and be a quarterback that you throw in. And I hate when I get like this at times. We also cover the CFL. So I kind of like cross, scout for both leagues. I like how the CFL has a short yardage quarterback and a red zone quarterback. I wish the NFL moved to more of that type of skill set. When you have a guy that has unique talents like a Taysom Hill, he could be a short yardage or a red zone quarterback that can give you that run pass option. So I think he should be stay as a quarterback, get healthy, and just continue to grow from there.
Awesome. Well, last year we had you on, we asked you about quarterbacks. So last year you were on this show, you talked about how highly you thought of Dak Prescott and how you thought he could make an impact at the NFL in an early level. And there were a couple other guys that you mentioned that ended up getting drafted that I hadn't heard of before, including one that got drafted by my Patriots. So I wanted to kind of get your take on this class of quarterbacks, this group as a whole coming in, not as highly maybe touted as the last couple of drafts, but who do you got in this group that might be like some of the picks you had last year that may not be first rounders, but may end up having, big time or at least, starters at the NFL level making an impact?
Well, first of all, this quarterback class is really good. And I have to get out in front and say that, because there's three bona fide starters in the first round, in my opinion, Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes, and Deshaun Kizer. To me, those are the three elite quarterback prospects. And when you're looking for guys that may not go in the first round that will get drafted but will make a team and probably end up playing some as a rookie and playing well, Jerod Evans out of Virginia Tech. What's funny is that people talk about Mitch Trubisky's 13 games starting, and now some people project him to be in the top 10 or top 5 type talent, but they don't mention Jerod Evans. And he and Trubisky have the same exact resume, 30 touchdowns, only like 4 or 5 interceptions. Actually, Evans has more rushing yards and also rushing touchdowns. Evans won the head-to-head matchup. Evans also had Virginia Tech in the ACC championship game and also led them to a comeback victory in the bowl game against Arkansas, where they were down 24-0. And so, but you hear nothing about him. He was a one-year starter at Tech, and you don't hear anything about Jerod Evans. But all of a sudden, Mr. Trubisky, with the same resume, is a top 10 pick and lost all his big games outside of Florida State. So I think Evans, to me, is this year's Dak Prescott. I also like Alec Torgerson out of Penn. This guy, when you talk about a guy that throws with velocity, he has the type of arm to shrink the field. It looks like an arena field the way he's able to get the ball from point A to point B. And he's another talented Ivy League passer that I was really impressed with over the last 2 years. And one guy that may not get drafted, but he is definitely a pro quarterback and plays the game extremely well. I've seen the growth from him over the last 3 seasons, and that's Phillip Walker out of Temple, 5'11", 214. This is a guy, if it wasn't for the 4 drop touchdown passes against Notre Dame on Halloween night, they beat Notre Dame in Philadelphia and move into the top 10. P.J. Walker, Phillip Walker, is one of the best quarterbacks. He plays the position like a point guard, almost Charlie Ward, like now he's able to distribute the football. And he suffered a lot of drops in his career, but he brought Temple to a title game. They won the AAC championship, their first conference championship since 1937, and also led them to back-to-back bowl games. So something they hadn't done since the 30s. So I think this is a guy that, you know, has all the intangibles that you want, a leader, a winner, and has the skill set to succeed as a pro.
Excellent, excellent. Well, we'll keep an eye on where some of those outside of the top three land, and who knows where we might see, like we saw with Prescott, immediate impact in the NFL, depending on situation. Last guy I wanted to talk to you about before we let you go was BYU safety Kai Nakua, who was a ball hawk at in college and had a lot of turnovers and was a really good player. Knock on him, I think, has been speed and maybe a little bit on the size as well. As a safety, I mean, he's grading out right now as probably a rookie free agent. What do you think on Kai Nakua, and is he a potential sleeper, or do you think that he's graded by most of the services right now probably about right?
I think he's graded probably about right, but I'm always a sucker for guys that can find the football. And how often we watch NFL games and see defensive backs that can't find the ball or miss opportunities to pick off the pass. And with him, he's Johnny on the spot. He's making plays. And that, to me, is a skill in and of itself, because you have to have good instincts. You have to have enough quickness to get to where you need to be to make a play on the ball. So he's probably going to go 7th round undrafted, but he's going to get on special teams, make the roster, and then he's going to find his way, kind of like how Sorensen did with Kansas City, just kind of find his way within the defense, and now you can't take him off the field.
Yeah. Certainly, it's worked out for Sorensen with his extension. He's found himself a nice little home and a nice niche there with Kansas City. Well, Emory, thank you so much for coming on. It was great. Again, we'll encourage folks to go out to Football Game Plan and check out as you do your draft prep and you're curious who your NFL team might be taking. There's a lot of good deep stuff that you guys do, and a lot deeper than most sites. So we'd encourage people to do that.
Well, I appreciate that, man, and we wish you the best of luck this draft with your prospects and also next season. I'm always a big BYU fan because I like the brand of football they play.
Yeah, it should be a fun year to watch them. Certainly, the schedule, you know, starting with LSU and Utah, we'll find out how good they are pretty fast.
Exactly.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Emory, and we'll have you on again.
Appreciate that.
Really interesting interview with Emory Hunt, who I always want to call Ethan Hunt.
Yeah, you wrote that on the agenda, and I was like, I'm thinking, is this the Mission Impossible episode?
Hey, Ethan, where's your team?
They're dead. They're all dead.
Yeah, see, I want to call him that. I'm sorry, Emory.
I love Emory, though. His stuff is awesome.
His stuff is awesome, and he's very high, as he just talked about, on Jamal Williams. So let's talk about Jamal first on ours. There was an article linked to in the Deseret News. Well, actually, a couple of things. There was a Deseret News article by Brandon Judd about, can Jamal Williams become the greatest former BYU running back at the next level? Matt, I'll answer that question very easily. Yes, and he will.
Yeah. If he plays, he'll be the best. Yes. Right? I mean,
yes.
He just needs a shot, but I think he can get. I think he can become that guy.
Some of the things that Brandon wrote in this article kind of stunned me. For example, only one former BYU running back has had a 100-yard rushing game in the NFL.
Yikes.
Eric Lane in 1984. And only one has had postseason carries.
That's just crazy, isn't it?
Yes, yes. All BYU running backs in the total of the NFL, according to this article in Deseret News, 548 carries for 2,017 rushing yards and 12 touchdowns.
Yeah, that's insane.
The most anyone's ever run is 732 yards in 1981, Bill Ring with San Francisco. So, you know, it's not a big bar that Jamal will have to jump over. So I think as long as he has at least, even if he has 40% of the NFL career I think he's going to have, he'll still be the most successful BYU running back at the
next level. Do I think he can run for 732 career rushing yards in the NFL? Yes.
I think he runs for that more than that this season.
Wow. Oh, you're really laying it down.
Okay. Over under 732 yards for Jamal Williams in the NFL this year.
I'm going under.
I'm going over, and I'd say he gets close to 1,000.
He's going to be the feature back somewhere.
Yeah, if he ends up, Emery mentioned two spots that I've heard other people mention as well, the Philadelphia Eagles or the Indianapolis Colts. If he ends up on one of those teams, heck, he mentioned the Green Bay Packers, which would be an awesome fit because then he wouldn't have pressure, right, relatively speaking. Right. Because obviously that's Aaron Rodgers' offense, not the running back's offense. But regardless, I think if he stays healthy and he's I think, yeah, he'll get close to 1,000 yards. That's what I think.
It's pretty serious.
And I'm never wrong, Matt. I am never wrong. CBSSports.com has ranked Harvey Longy as one of their draft sleepers, Matt. And I think there's enough right now. I think there's enough noise around Longy that this is a guy that's going to get drafted.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think he does.
Yeah, I think he gets drafted. I still don't know where exactly in what scheme he'll best fit though.
I just wonder. I still wonder. If he'd been used differently last season, you know, would he be in the position he's in now? And I think no.
No, I think he'd be a higher draft pick. I think moving him around hurt his NFL in certain ways. But I'll tell you what, Emery brought this up, and we talked about it last week or the week before. Teams like the Patriots, who might see that versatility as a strength, that may be where he ends up on a team like the Seahawks or the Patriots, and they take a shot at him a little earlier because they don't want him to slip past him. Because you can't expect to get him as a rookie free agent because he's not going to be – someone's going to take him in the draft. He's too good of an athlete.
And if you really think you have a place for him, you know, you don't want to get into – you don't want to be trying to figure out the right rookie free agent contract. So, you know, you want to get the first crack at him. You draft him, even if you got to take him a little bit later. You bring him into camp and you get to evaluate him.
Well, and the 4.63 he ran at the BYU Pro Day –
It's okay, I guess.
It's pretty good for a 244-pound dude. So, you know, I'm just saying. I'm just saying, Matt. So we will be back in 2 weeks trying to line up a special guest. Won't announce it because we're not quite there yet on getting scheduled and things line up. But to talk more NFL draft that week of the NFL draft. So we'll be off next week.
It's not Roger Goodell, is it?
Matt, we're not supposed to drop the names yet until we get them scheduled.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm just too excited.
And Roger and I have been trading voicemail messages. Well, actually, his attorneys and the police have been calling me after the messages I left, where I said things along the line of "suck it, Goodell." And hey, how's Tom Terrific doing? Have you congratulated him on his deflated championship?
Yikes!
Suck it, Goodell. All right.
So,
Matt, let's talk about the 2017 football season a little bit, and then we're going to talk about basketball. But first, before we switch to basketball, Matt, Salt Lake Tribune had an interesting story from friend of the podcast, Jay Drew, talking about, you know what I totally forgot to talk about? Have you read the Bleacher Report Jamal Williams story before we move off?
No.
Oh. Well, then we're going to have a hard time talking about it. But you should go read it. I'll just give my 10 seconds on it. Interesting article. I don't like the guy's perspective at the beginning. He kind of takes some shots at the honor code. Not Jamal didn't take shots. The author took shots. Actually, Jamal didn't, if you read the quotes, he didn't take any shots at the honor code. But it was a really interesting article just talking about his journey and also his preparation for the draft. So I'd recommend that to everybody to go check that out. That first few paragraphs, though, you might be annoyed at the writer. I was. He clearly does not think our honor code, that the BYU honor code, is a good deal. So, but similar to Goodell, you can suck it, dude, because it's not your honor code. Anyway,
yeah, the guy starts out with the title. After 5 years of BYU and its honor code, Jamal Williams is free.
Yeah, but the article, the thing that annoys me is I feel like the title and the first couple of paragraphs are total clickbaiting. Because if you read the rest of the article, it is not about the honor code or Jamal Williams' relationship with the honor code. It's really like, if you get past those first four paragraphs or so, it's actually a really nice article about him and who he is and what he wants to do and those type of things. I feel like we got a little clickbaited with that. So, anywho. For 2017, Matt, let's talk about the safety position. Kai Nakua obviously is leaving and will likely find a roster spot. You and I both believe he'll be on an NFL team next year. Maybe not drafted, but certainly got a chance to make a roster with the skills and career that he had. So one of the big discussions here has been, you know, what's the safety position look like next year? And obviously, Micah Hanneman's got one spot. In this article, Jay Drew talks about Texas Tech transfer Tanner Jacobson and a few others who have a chance to play in that safety spot with Kai Nakua leaving. Matt, is it possible, as Jay talks about here, that even with Kai Nakua leaving, maybe a top 10 safety we've ever had? Is that you know, without us going through the list, that's probably a fair thing to say. Is it possible that safety could be a big strength for the 2017 Cougars?
I feel like that's a reach. You know, I think we want to be excited. You know, we want to feel good about the team. But, I mean, you know, maybe it's me. Maybe I'm thinking about it wrong. But I don't think you lose a guy like Nakua and don't feel it.
You know what? I hear what you're saying. I actually think Jay might be onto something here. I think this group, I don't think anybody will be as good as Kai Nakua. So you're right. You're going to take a little bit of a step back potentially. But I think this group is deep, and Nakua stayed healthy and Hanneman stayed, you know, they mostly stayed healthy last year. That is not typical. I feel much more comfortable this year that if one of those top guys goes down, there's somebody at that next level who could step in and potentially take a spot without there being a major drop-off. No?
Yeah, I don't know. I hear what you're saying. I mean, I feel good about Hanneman. But the jury's out on some of these other guys. I just...
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I mean, we don't have a lot of experience with some of them, right? For sure.
It makes me a little nervous.
Yeah.
I mean, when you look through this article, I mean, Lamb says he's comfortable playing between 6 and 8 safeties on the roster. That seems to tell me that when you have too many players at one position, it's either because you have a bunch of really good players there or you don't have any starters.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
you know what I mean? And we don't know what we've got here.
We know what we got with Hanneman, right?
Right.
It's everybody else.
It's the depth, really. Yeah. I mean, we just don't know if it's there or not.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm gonna tend to believe that it's there, but obviously time will prove that out. Matt, the Lawless Republic had an article, a blog post, talking about their 3 under-the-radar Cougars for 2017. Author Nathan Cunningham talks about, who are 3 BYU players that might make an impact that we're not necessarily thinking. You know, it's not – we're not talking about Tanner Mangum. We're not talking about, Troy Warner or Fred Warner or whomever else that might be an impact player. So there were 3 that they brought up. One was Chris Wilcox. He, as an offensive lineman. And so there's a lot of, oh, I'm sorry. Yes. It's offensive lineman as a defensive back. So there's one player there that they mentioned. Riley Burt was another one that they mentioned as a possible under the radar player, and I'd agree that makes sense to me. And also Kiefer Longson, a tackle as well there. So Matt, do you have an under the radar guy for next year? Somebody you think that we haven't spent a lot of time talking about on this show, and people aren't probably talking a lot about him, but might be somebody that next year we're going, wow, that what a great season they had. For example, did you think Butch Powell would be as impactful as he was last year? I mean, and we weren't talking about him 12 months ago.
No, I mean, nobody was. No, I don't know that people were expecting that before we saw it, right? I am intrigued by what I would have listed Riley Burt, right? But that's on their list, and we kind of talked about that, so I'll leave it alone. But I'm also intrigued by Wilcox at corner, right?
Because
if you look at this article and they talk about the possibility of and they have him listed in here as Diane Lake, there we go, or Warner moving to safety, right? So if that happens, then they must feel really good. If they're going to slide one or both of those guys to another slot, then they've got to feel really good about what's going on here and other parts of the defensive backfield. So I think that one, that'll be a sign to us that they're not comfortable with what's going on at safety, but they are comfortable with this if they make that move. Riley Burt is an interesting choice. The other one that, I mean, you go back and look at what Braden El-Bakri did when he got in. I think that's a guy who could, you've got this kind of running back by committee situation starting to develop, and I think he's a guy that could come out and surprise people. You know, nobody's going to be shocked if Ula Tulutau becomes the guy, right, in the next year or two.
Not flying underneath any radars.
Right, but some of these other guys are a little bit undersized, and Squally clearly doesn't have a firm hold on a feature back position, and so I think there's an opportunity there for a player like him to step up and do something. And then I would have said Bushman, but I don't know that you can count Bushman as under the radar at this point.
No, I don't think you can count him under the radar, not after the spring game that he had. Also, a guy that you may not be able to count, but maybe you can, because he's, even after a great spring game, is not likely to be a starter, is Isaiah Kafusi. That's one where, I think there's a potential there that, as a very athletic, he showed some good skills in that spring game. The other names that come to me, quite frankly, are all offensive linemen. right? There's a few guys here that are intriguing that have not played a ton yet, that are going to get opportunities. Shoaf and others is with folks leaving and or folks that are moving around. Longson was a good, you know, he's moving. He played some guard at least right now. It looks like he might be at one of the tackle positions. I think that's where, you know, certainly not sexy to pick an offensive lineman, but I think there's some guys there that, quite frankly, this offense could go from, you know, obviously with Mangum and some good skill position players, I think there's likely to be a good top 40 offense. If that offensive line comes together, maybe this is a top 25 offense. And you pair that with the defense where I believe it'll be, and I think now you've got a team that could potentially, you know, make some noise against LSU and some of the other really good 2017 opponents.
Wow, you just went ahead and threw LSU out there, huh?
I hear they're pretty good.
You're not messing around.
Yeah, I hear they're all right. So Matt, we're going to move on to basketball, and we'll finish the rest of the show will be basketball. The midmajormadness.com listed their way too early mid-major power rankings. Last week we saw, you know, you way too early top 25 and BYU was listed. Now in the mid-major power rankings, BYU clocked in at number 5, behind only Gonzaga, St. Mary's, Rhode Island, and Vermont. Now, this is interesting. I only say this because as fans, everyone is really down on the Cougars right now, right?
Yep.
And, you know, if Mika returns, even with Mika returning, people seem pretty pessimistic about how good this team will be next year. Is that a fair thing to say, you think?
Yeah.
Obviously, if Mika leaves, people go from pessimistic to, like, catatonic.
Oh, it's total meltdown, yeah. Right? I mean, it is total meltdown.
Yeah, that's not going to be a happy day in Cougar Nation. So, Matt, I bring this up to say, do you think we're too far down on this team?
Well, the thing is now this is just another example, and I think we talked about this a week or two ago, right? Where some, you know, one of these other rankings had us ranked in the top 25, and I thought, well, did this guy watch college basketball this year? And I think what you pointed out was these guys, you know, sometimes this outside eye takes a look and they don't have the perspective of the disappointment, right? So I'm just kind of repeating what you just said, but, you know, once, you know, that's something. But, you know, when you see time after time, you got guys looking at this team as this is the time they're going to, this is the year. And really, if you turn the clock back a couple of years, this 2017-28 season is really when we expected these guys to make the leap.
Yeah, right? For sure.
We just saw some flashes in the beginning of the 2016-2017 season that got our hopes up.
Yep.
And it turned out to not be real.
Nope.
And so it was just early. And maybe with a little bit of perspective, that's what some of these guys are seeing, is that this is the year that these guys put it together and start to gel and figure it out and make their run. And so with Mika back, you know, could I get convinced again by the time we get around to, you know, late fall and basketball's getting ready to gear up? Could I get convinced again to get behind this team like that and have those types of expectations? Perhaps. But without Eric Mika, I won't.
Oh yeah, without Mika, I'm not getting it. But with Mika, I'm with you. I could get on it.
Wow, there you go.
Yeah, just open up a little Dr. Pepper there for you, buddy.
I cracked my Diet Mountain Dew here before we got started. You know, I look at a can of soda now. Remember how when you were a little kid, how big a can of soda was?
Yes, I do.
It was gigantic. It was
gigantic.
Right? Like you could never get that all down. Now, I mean, I just
funny enough, I've got the 90 calorie little can. I've gotten even smaller.
Not a surprise.
So Matt,
it's better in your dainty little hands.
Oh man, I'm gonna punch you right in the face next time I see you.
Punch me with your tiny, tiny fists.
Yeah, we'll see how they feel against your fat face. Yeah. All right. So, Matt in the Daily Herald, friend of the podcast, Darnell Dixon, talked about how next year there's going to be a lot of personnel changes across the West Coast Conference, okay? So he talked about, of course, BYU's going to have, you know, Mika's decision. Davis and Rose are leaving, but they didn't play a whole ton this year. And then he talks about the folks coming back from their mission and different things. But we know all that. He then goes through some of the other teams. Gonzaga, obviously, Karnowski and Matthews are gone. Goss and Collins, we talked about them. Williams, Goss, and Collins, we talked about them a few weeks ago, what that means to Gonzaga if they walk away. Matt, if they stay, if Williams, Goss, and Zach Collins stay, they're an Elite Eight team again.
Oh, yeah. If they've got Collins?
Yeah, if Collins stays, Williams, Goss stays. I know Karnowski's a loss. They also get a former Davis High star Jesse Wade back from his LDS mission.
And they've got this guy from New Mexico, Elijah Brown, who's thinking about transferring up there.
I'm just saying there's a lot going on there that, there's a lot going on. And then he goes through LMU and blah, 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 don't care. And then go to St. Mary's. St. Mary's is a little scary, Matt. Landale, back. Hermanson, back. Point guard Emmett Narr, back. Steven Gonzalez is transferring. Who cares? He didn't play a ton. And they will be welcoming in two more non-U.S. players. Christers Zorix out of Latvia and Angus Glover out of Australia. So I don't know how good either of those guys are. Matt, they're going to be good again.
Yeah, they are. I mean, they're basically the core of the team is still there.
Yeah, I say all of this to say this. BYU could be a very good team next year, way improved, and still finish third.
Now, let me ask you this, though. If they live up to the expectation that's laid out by some of these third party, I'll call them prognosticators, do all three of these teams go to the dance?
I think St. Mary's and Gonzaga are pretty much a given as long as the wheels don't come off their seasons next year. And I think they've earned that reputationally, right? I think BYU's path is a little harder. It all depends on the early season non-conference schedule, and if they can notch a couple of top 75 wins. The other piece is they got to beat Gonzaga and St. Mary's at least once a piece. If they can
But that's doable. I mean, we did that this year.
If they can do all those, we didn't beat top 75 teams in our non-conference schedule. If you can do that, the other part is if BYU takes a leap and is better, you could win the tournament, right? You could win the conference tournament. That's a hard thing to do, certainly when you've got two better teams in the tournament than you. But, I mean, you just looked at what happened at the Big Ten tournament this year, right, and some of the other conference tournaments, and it happens every year. You know, the best team doesn't always win. I mean, Gonzaga's had quite a run of dominance in this tournament, but eventually they're going to lose the conference tournament. But, yes, I think they could make the NCAA tournament.
So the WCC, you could see them as a three bid league next year.
Yeah. For example, if that article last week that we talked about, if all three of them finished ranked in the top 25, they're all three going to the tournament.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
You know, and even if BYU's not top 25 and is top 40, most of the time, top 40 teams make the tournament. You know, there are exceptions to that on occasion where just timing and you're a top 40 team, but you're from the Podunk Conference, you know. But WCC isn't viewed that way, right? This has been a two-bid league off and on now for a while. So I think three is not unrealistic. I'll put it that way. So, Matt, let's finish on something that neither of us is qualified to do. All right? You ready for this?
Love it. This is our bread and butter. Whatever it is, doing stuff we're not qualified to do is our bread and butter.
Yeah, that's what we do. That's what we do, Matt. So Sweeney, that's at Justin D. Sweeney.
Sweeney.
And if you want to join the tweet bag, you can send us a tweet at BYU_RiseShout. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/RiseAndShout. And you can send us a good old-fashioned email, riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. One word, riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. So, this is what Sweeney asks. Any NBA playoff preview? I haven't been this excited about playoffs since the Nash Amare Suns year. Lifelong Suns fan. I'm really sorry that you were a fan of those teams, because that was heartbreaking.
Oh, jeez.
It was. It was heartbreaking. You weren't heartbroken for them?
No. Hey, the most excitement I've ever had watching the Suns play was back in the Marley days.
Back in the Dan Thunder Dan.
Oh, man. Who else
Charles
was on that
Barkley.
Team? Barkley was on that team.
Jeff
who
Hornacek.
Else was there?
No,
oh,
he was
man.
Gone already.
Would they have Dennis Johnson?
What's Kevin the name of the... Johnson.
Kevin Johnson
is who you're thinking
that's
of.
Right. That's right. Kevin Johnson.
Yeah, not Dennis Johnson. Different guy. So I don't know why he's so excited, lifelong Suns fan. The Suns are terrible, Justin. I'll give you the preview. They're not making the playoffs, the Suns.
Mm. Womp, womp. Sad trombone.
Sad trombone. But they will get a shot at the first pick in the draft, so there's that.
Hey, but you know what? Here, let me just take a second on this. This whole conversation about teams tanking because of the way the NBA draft system is set up, like, other than, I mean, unless you hit on a guy like LeBron, you're not turning your season around. I don't see anybody in the draft this year that's going to turn a franchise around.
No. No.
So why are people clamoring to get these picks?
Well,
you're not going to turn your team around with this one guy.
But I don't know that I think some teams are tanking, and they do every year. I don't care about the tanking. I'm with you. I think you can hurt your brand and your fan base in a way that it's hard to get that momentum back, because like you said, unless there's a LeBron or somebody that can bring that kind of excitement, the
building a loser culture.
The controversy that I just don't understand, quite frankly, is the one about how people are upset that they rest stars when you've already, like the Warriors, who are clearly the first seed in the West, and they rest stars, or the Spurs, who are clearly the second seed in the West. They're resting stars, and people are all upset. We paid tickets and whatever else. Them resting their stars before the playoffs is just smart management of your basketball team. Right?
Yeah, like, I mean, you're trying to win a championship.
You don't care. Like, and if you're a Spurs fan, you're like, oh, I paid for my ticket. Do you want them to win a championship, or do you want to get to see Kawhi in a meaningless game against Memphis?
The roll last his ankle on it coming down after a rebound.
Yeah, I mean, man, the NBA season is long and takes a massive pounding on guys. And I don't understand that controversy. Quite frankly, if you've got a problem with it, I don't think you're a fan of that team. Honestly, I don't think you are, because you don't have the best interest in the art. And why didn't you watch the rest of the season when they were there?
See,
every game.
But here's the thing, though. I think to a certain extent, it's a made up controversy, right? When these teams are selling tickets, what are they trying to sell? They're trying to sell season ticket packages to people.
Right. Right.
And if you are a season ticket holder and they start resting guys after they make the playoffs, as long as you still renew your season tickets next year, the Spurs don't care.
Well, guess what?
And if they win a championship or make a deep playoff run, you're going to renew those season tickets.
Well, if you don't, guess what? Somebody behind you is going to grab those seats.
Yes.
If you're the Spurs, the Warriors, the Cavs.
I don't believe that there's any damage to be had. There's any point here where the teams suffer because, oh, well, I'm just not going to buy my set of three tickets to a single game this year.
Talking heads just want to talk.
Now, do I feel for the guy that saves up to go to take his kids to one game because it costs him $700 by the time he gets in the door and whatever?
Yeah.
You know, yeah, and then and LeBron doesn't play. Because you know they're trying to catch LeBron on a road game or whatever. Yeah, I mean, so I understand where that guy's coming from, but you know, it's late in the season. That's just the way it falls. Like if you live in Toledo's not the right example because you could theoretically drive to Cleveland from Toledo.
Yes, you could.
But if you lived in Boise, like you don't have it. There's not a team for you to go watch. Yeah, I just I guess I lost my train of thought on that one, but I think my point was, just because the team's coming to town that one week or that one weekend doesn't mean you have a right to see LeBron play.
No.
Right. If you lived in a city where he never played, you just miss it.
Yeah.
You're still in the same situation. He's not going to play a game in your city.
You didn't buy a right to see LeBron play. You bought tickets to a game and the coaches decide who plays that night. That's right. It's that simple.
And if he could be hurt, he could have a cold. There's a lot of reasons.
There's a lot of things that could happen. So Matt, Andre Hutchins joins the chorus. He says, "Hear, hear! Let's add some NBA preview action going." I don't know what that sentence means, AC.
There's a lot going on there.
I don't know what that means. By the way, he has his own podcast.
I saw that. I'm going to listen to that. I'm going to be doing a lot of driving in the next week or so. I'm going to give that one a shot.
Where is AC? I got to. There you go, Andre. Let's go to your page, your Twitter page. It's the BD Podcast. You can follow them at BD Podcast. So Backseat Directors, it's a movie review and recommendation podcast hosted by AC and listeners. I'm just saying this right now. Where's my invite, Andre, to this podcast?
Yeah, saying awkward. Saying.
Well, he said we're his inspiration. That's not exactly what he said, but he did say he thought, you know, if us two Yahoos
if can these do two it, morons can have a podcast,
anybody can have a podcast. So Matt, going back to the NBA, they want it. I didn't finish this question, did I? This year is going to be very exciting. Who's your final four team? So that's our question. Out of the East, who's coming out? Are you being predictable and going Boston and Cleveland? Or are you going to do something a little different and throw Toronto or Washington in there?
You know what? I'm going to do something real crazy. I'm going to take Cleveland and Atlanta.
I want to punch you in the face. You're not taking the Celtics?
No. Mostly because I knew that would get your blood boiling. Because listen, we all know that you watch more NBA than I do.
I do.
I don't really watch the NBA until the playoffs start.
I will say this. I think it's Boston and Toronto in the East, in the Eastern Conference Finals. That is my prediction. Now, that changes if Cleveland ends up with the number one seed, which we're recording this on Tuesday night, and let's see. No, are they done? Oh, never mind. We don't need to do that. They've got one more game on Wednesday. I'm sorry. So yeah, if Cleveland ends up, if we've got a change in the seeding, but assuming Boston's the number one seed, that's my predictions. Matt, who you got in the West? There's only two choices.
Really predictable in the West. It's the Warriors and the Spurs.
Let me put it this way. It is very possible, okay, looking at advanced statistics, that the best four teams in basketball play in the West. The Clippers might be, especially the way they've played lately, they might be the best, better than any team in the East. They're healthy, they're playing really well, and it won't matter.
Nope.
Because they're going to get beat in the second round by the Warriors. And, Matt, all these people talking about the Warriors, they outscored their opponents by 12 points a game.
It's crazy.
They're putting together one of the best runs in NBA history. And the Spurs are of course they're the Spurs. They're awesome. So Matt, who's your NBA champion?
I'm gonna go with the Warriors.
I am also gonna go with the Warriors. But if they don't win it, I think it's the Spurs. I think it's whoever
comes
out of the
West. Yeah, it's the Warriors or the Spurs. Yeah.
That's my prediction. I would love to see the Celtics win, and if Isaiah Thomas got really hot and the Boston's defense can be locked down good, not Spurs level good. But watch out for those Clippers in that second round. I don't think they beat the Warriors, but if they took them to seven games, I'm not going to be shocked. I'm not going to be shocked.
No, and I think it could be good. It'll be fun basketball to watch.
So this is going to, this will be fun, Matt. I'm going to say something controversial here at the end. Are you ready for this?
Awesome. Love it.
Are you ready?
Love it. Stir the pot, Mangum.
Is Russell Westbrook basically a better version of Stephon Marbury?
What?
He basically just puts up massive stats. He can't win, though.
No, he can't. And he's not going to do it by himself, for sure.
But and people can argue that he just doesn't have the guys around him, which actually is probably the right argument. But look at this. 32 points a game, 10 boards, 10 assists, 1.7 steals. It's an amazing, an absolutely amazing a statistical season by Russell Westbrook. He's averaging a triple-double.
See, but you know what? And that's great, right? Way to go. But
way to go.
I think that the interest around this, right? So what do where were they in any of our conversation just now?
Well, they're not going to they don't make it out of the first round.
No, they don't. Right?
I don't know that they make it to game 6.
Nope. I don't think so. And you go back to this conversation around, "Oh, we're mad cuz the star players are resting and all this." It has become, and maybe the NBA has always been this way, and I'm just getting old, so I have this opinion. But it's become, get off my lawn.
Get off my lawn, you little whippersnapper.
It's become this thing where it's all about an individual player. And, you know, we can all get excited about what he's doing there, but at the end of the day, like, does it really matter if they can't sniff a championship?
No. No, it doesn't. I mean, he'll make the Hall of Fame and all that stuff.
To make a ton of money, but they're gonna sell tickets.
If you want to be an NBA immortal, just ask Charles Barkley. Right?
Yep.
Like, in the end, if you want to be an NBA immortal, you got to win a championship. That's just how it works in the NBA. There's 7 or 8 guys that play. This isn't Major League Baseball. This isn't even the NFL. Where you could be a Barry Sanders and nobody thinks, well, you're lesser of a running back because you didn't win a championship, right?
Well, I don't know. Dan Marino for a long time. I feel like people...
Quarterback's different. Quarterback's different, right? You're right. And quarterback's different. But in the NBA, I mean, it haunts these guys, their legacy the rest of their life, you know? And... That's a, you know, and James Harden's in the same boat, right? He's having a fantastic year.
Yep.
And Houston's a really good team. They're actually, they could, I'm not predicting this, but they could come out of the West, right?
I'll tell you, if they were in the East, I think they'd win it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But you look at him, you know, what was his stat line? 29 points, 11 assists, and 8 boards a game. But their team is pretty darn good. Oklahoma City is just okay, right? So, but again, Harden's in the same boat. He's putting up these great numbers, but can he win a championship? I don't know. I don't know if he can win a championship. Not this year, he's not.
No.
And if he and KD couldn't do it together, I don't know when that's going to magically happen for him.
He's going to win the Beard Championship, though.
Who, James Harden?
Yeah.
Well, can you believe Harden, Westbrook, and KD? They were all on that team together back in the day. It's kind of a crazy. I actually have loved the NBA this year. I had over time gotten a little off on the NBA, but the last few years they've got me back. I'm in.
I'll tell you, I loved the playoffs last year, and I thought I was going to watch a lot more regular season this year than I have. But I'll watch the playoffs. I think the playoffs are going to be fun.
Yeah, I think the playoffs will be a lot of fun. I think that first round might be a little of a snoozer, depending on who we're talking about. But Matt, I'll throw one more at you before we end. When you watch Kawhi Leonard at San Diego State, Jimmer time period, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever think at one point, wow, he's going to be a leading candidate for an NBA MVP award?
No.
I didn't either.
I thought he'd play blinded by hatred.
I thought he'd play in the NBA and be a good player. I thought he'd be still playing in the NBA potentially by this point. But if you had told me that he'd be the best player on one of the best teams in the NBA and an MVP candidate, I wouldn't have believed you.
I wouldn't have believed you if you would have said he was the best player coming out of that recruiting, that graduating class. Because I thought that was going to be Fredette.
Or pick a few other folks. Not just, take our BYU, glasses off here for a second, right? I'm not sure you don't think, let's go to that draft, 2011 NBA draft. Kyrie Irving was number one. Cantor, Tristan Thompson, Leonard was drafted 15th after Fredette. Five spots after Fredette. Look who was drafted before, Markieff Morris. You look at some of the folks, Brandon Knight, who were drafted. And at the time, I wasn't against any of these picks being in front of Kawhi Leonard.
But you look at it now and it looks silly.
Well, I mean, you look at it and you look, I mean, clearly, he's the best player to come out of that draft. I mean,
right.
Walker and Kyrie Irving, Jimmy Butler. There's some Isaiah Thomas.
Very good players.
There's
very
some
good
very players. Good players who've come out of that draft. Klay Thompson, obviously. There's some players that came out of this draft. But if you look at the group drafted ahead of him, right? Isaiah Thomas was picked with the 60th pick, so hard to count him. You look at Kyrie Irving and Kemba Walker, they've not been as good as him, but you know, at the time, you'd probably have made the same decision with the same information. But man, you look at a lot of those guys, Tristan Thompson, you know, guys that were picked ahead of him, where you would say, oh gosh, and in all fairness, Jimmer.
Yep.
So anyway, well, there's our NBA playoff preview. And maybe we'll talk some NBA playoffs because we'll have maybe a full round in the bank, or at least most of it in the bank next time we're on the show, Matt.
Look at that. We talked about the NBA.
We talked about the NBA. Well, this has been a long podcast, but it's okay. It was good. Lots of awesome stuff, and I threatened to punch Matt in the face with my wee hands.
Tiny hands.
Tiny hands. Me and Donald Trump. Tiny hands.
Yep.
Anyway, well, that's a way to end the podcast. So what should the hashtag be?
Rise Shout Tiny Hands. That's way too long.
That's way too long.
How about RS Tiny Hands?
Hashtag RS Tiny Hands, if you made it to the end of this gargantuan-sized Rise and Shout podcast. Matt, this has been...
If you can even hold this entire podcast in your wee little hands.
That's... Are you insulting me?
Yes, I've been making fun of your hands for like a half an hour now.
What?
Actually, what? I started by calling them delicate, and yes, I'm going to stand by that.
Delicate's probably better. That's probably better. All right, well, thanks everybody for downloading and listening. We will catch you next time.
Go Cougars. Just a small town girl living in a lonely world. She took the